Hear the gospel of the Lord according to St. Luke in chapter 19. Praise to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 19, beginning to read at verse 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He said, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Glory to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Cynthia, very much indeed. Well, I'm delighted to hand over to Chris, who's going to bring our message now. Thank you, Chris.
Wonderful to be here with you this morning. Before we begin, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a speaking God. Well, thank you that we can hear you as we read your word. So, Father, I pray that as we hear from you, our hearts and our eyes and our ears will all be open so that we hear, change, and become more like your Son, Jesus, this morning. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, imagine that my phone goes off now and I pick it up and I say, no, look, I have no time. How did you get hold of my number? And please, can you not call me again? Well, who do you think's at the other end? Well, hopefully you don't think it's my wife, Jess, who's at the other end of the phone. No, it's probably more likely one of those phone calls that you get saying, I've heard you've been in an accident recently. Would you like to claim? Well, if it was my wife who did call me and she said, you've got to come and meet me now. I've been in a car accident. Well, of course. Well, I'd say, yes, I'll be there straight away. And then I'd say goodbye to you and dash off to meet her. So depending upon who I'm talking to will change our response. As we hear the words of Jesus, how do you respond? How do you respond will then expose what you think about Jesus. You see, over the last few weeks, we've seen a number of different responses to Jesus. We've had the rich ruler. What happens to him? He walks away sad. He just sees Jesus as a good teacher. You have the disciples. Well, they're confused. They just see Jesus as a liberator. Then you have the blind man who's healed by Jesus. He sees Jesus as the son of David. And then we have Zacchaeus, the cheating tax collector. He responds by giving his money away as he comes to know Jesus as a friend. As we come to our passage, Jesus is eating with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and he's telling those gathered around him a story. You see, he's talking about a king and how he is king and how different people respond to that. So let's see who we are in this story and how we respond to King Jesus. So the first thing I'd like us to see is this. Obey Jesus as he is king. That's verses 11 to 14. Obey Jesus as he is king. You see, as Jesus nears Jerusalem, there's a heightened expectation. There's great anticipation. You see, since chapter 9, verse 51 in Luke's gospel, he's told us that Jesus has resolutely set out towards Jerusalem. And he's determinedly marching forward for the ultimate confrontation. And his journey is nearly over. And many were confident that, well, when Jesus finally arrives at Jerusalem, then God's kingdom, glorious kingdom, will break through. And then they'll lead to a mighty conquest over the Roman occupiers. As it says in verse 11, look with me, he was near to Jerusalem. It goes on to say that they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. The first question might be, well, what is God's kingdom? Well, it's a wonderful place where God reigns supreme. And there, it'll be the end of oppression, the end of abuse, illness like coronavirus. All that makes the world broken, well, will be gone. Hearing this might make us jump for joy. And this is the kingdom that Jesus brings. So maybe we just sit back and, well, enjoy and see what King Jesus does. Well, to deal with our expectations, well, let's see what he does in verse 11. He says he proceeded to tell a parable. That is an everyday story that explains a heavenly thing. The story involves a man who's to be made king. That is Jesus speaking about himself. Then there is the servants. They are those who serve the would-be king. This is a picture of what it means to be a Christian. Lastly, you have the citizens of the land. That is everyone else. Well, straight away, Jesus corrects us on our expectations that he'll immediately rule. We see this in verse 11. Look with me. A nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. This nobleman, well, he won't be sitting on a throne anytime soon. You see, he needs to head away to a far country. That is to have his right to rule confirmed by a higher governing power. Now, this is a common procedure in the Roman Empire, as previous rulers of Judea, well, they had to visit Rome to have their rule authorized. Well, this is the same with Jesus. He is heir, but there is a long way yet before he can fully claim the kingdom. He's in a far country. Now, that isn't Rome, but is heaven. It's only on Jesus' return that he'll be publicly on the throne. So let's see what this king in waiting does in Jesus' parable in verse 13 as he leaves. It says this, calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minuses and said to them, engage in business until I come. You see, while the manager, or I mean the master, is away, they're each given a minor to put to good use. Now, I have to say it wasn't a massive amount, but it was 3 months' worth of wage. That is quite still a sizable enough, isn't it? And we'll see later that this is a test to reveal if they are obedient to the success of their master. Now, this is in contrast to the citizens of the land. They're quite clear about what they think of this man or this would-be king. You see in verse 14, what is it? They hate him. They hate him. That's very strong. Now, for those of us who call ourselves Christians, well, we're to serve King Jesus obediently. You see, between the resurrection and his return, there is plenty for us to be doing as we have been given a minor by Jesus. Now, this isn't just our natural talents or telling people the good news of Jesus, but it is actually the task of living for Jesus with all that he has given us in this life. That is to grow his kingdom as we hold out the gospel. This requires patient, faithful service. I mean, Jesus, he's been away for 2,000 years, but we're not to worry. He is king and he will return. In the meantime, we're to obey Jesus as he is king. The next thing I'd like us to see from the passage is this. Obey Jesus by growing his kingdom. Verses 15 to 19. Obey Jesus by growing his kingdom. I'll imagine. Imagine that you knew that Jesus would be returning by this time next week to bring in his kingdom and to judge the world. If you knew that, how would you live differently this week? What would be on your to-do list or must-do list? And what would be on your it-really-doesn't-matter list? Well, top of my to-do list, if Jesus was going to return, is that, well, I'll be talking about Jesus to my family, to my friends, and my next-door neighbours who don't know Jesus, who aren't yet Christians. And then on my it-doesn't-matter list would be assembling the IKEA furniture, the storage unit for the kids' bedroom, washing the car, finishing watching the TV series Killing Eve. Well, we're going to see, what does Jesus set as a priority? Well, from verses 15, the king has returned, and he calls his servants to see what they have been doing since he's been away. I mean, what do they have on their must-do list, and have they kept it? Remember, the master has given them a task. We see this in verse 13. He says, engage in business until I come. So let's see what the first servant did in verse 16. Look with me. The first servant came before him saying, Lord, your miner has made 10 minuses more. Wow, that is incredible. He didn't just double it. Actually, he made 1,000% increase. That's amazing. How about the second servant in verse 18? The second servant came saying, Lord, your miner has made 5 minuses. Again, he has worked incredibly hard. He's got 500% increase. So from 3 months' wages, he's turned it into a year and a half's worth of wages. Now, they don't let success go to their head. They don't say how amazing they are or, oh, master, you are so lucky to have such talented servants as us. They simply say, your miner has made 10 or 5 more. You see, it all came from the master to begin with. All they did was to obey. Obey their master and be responsible with the miner that he had given them. You see, they proved themselves to be faithful, genuine servants, as they worked hard for the good of the king to grow his kingdom. The master's business, well, was their business. Well, we see in verse 17 that he calls them faithful servants to the king. That is because they obeyed him by growing his kingdom. That means they passed the test, showing that they're able to be responsible with the small amount that he gave them. So let's see the reward then in verse 17. It says, you shall have authority over 10 cities. Wow. The reward far outweighs what the king, what they did for the king, showing him to be very generous. So please don't mistake, though, this reward has been given a heavier workload. No, there's a joyful participation of reigning with the king. Remember, they love the king. They want to see him succeed. Whereas the servants love to obey the king, if we're Christians, well, we would want to love obeying our king, that is Jesus. That's because that is how Jesus was Jesus done for us. You see, we are to serve long, hard, joyfully, lovingly, sacrificially our king, Jesus, because that's exactly what he has done for us. That is at the cross where he died, taking God's anger on our sin. So Jesus doesn't want us to simply obey him. He wants us to love him. And that is because of the cross. Service is an expression of our love for Jesus. That is to obey Jesus by growing his kingdom. So thirdly, obey Jesus by growing. Oh, sorry, we've just done that, haven't we? Sorry. The third one is this one. Disobey Jesus by despising his kingdom. That's verses 20 to 23. Disobey Jesus by despising his kingdom. Like in a spot the difference game, there is an odd one out in Jesus' parable. See what it is in verse 20. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I've kept laid away in a handkerchief. The other servants, well, they made good use of the mina, of the money. Whereas this servant, he did nothing. He gave it back untouched, saying, oh, king, it was your fault why I did this. I didn't do anything because it, what you're like. And we see that in verse 21. For I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. I dare not do anything because of what you're like. So is the servant's reasons, is because the master's, well, he gives out really harsh punishments, or he has a furious temper? Well, actually, no. Verse 21, look at me, this is his reason. You take what you did not deposit, reap what you did not sow. The servant's problem is that he didn't like that he had to work hard for the master and that he didn't gain. So he thought, it just isn't worth it. It just isn't worth it for me. Now, this is a really bad attitude for a servant, because a servant is to serve, but he has no loyalty towards his master. He is plain disobedient. Before the master left, remember, he was told to put the money to work. That is to grow this master's kingdom. But the servant, well, he had no interest in his master. In fact, he despised him and his kingdom. So is the description that this servant gave in verse 21, is it a true portrait of the master, of the king? Remember that this master or king is actually a picture of Jesus. I have to say, nowhere in the parable do we see him being a mean, thieving king. In fact, it's the opposite. Remember, he gave them a mina in the first place, and his reward significantly outweighs the hard work that they put in. As they're given a mina for each, they're given a city for each mina that they earn. In reality, the master or the king is very generous. In the end, the servant, or this servant, didn't really know his master at all. He just actually despised him. The description, I think, more suits the servant himself. You see, he wanted to make money off the mina that belonged to the master. He had no interest in serving the king, only how it benefited himself. The servant claimed to serve the master, but in fact has exposed him as being no servant at all. Well, if you're a Christian, have you ever thought, well, what is it like to work for Jesus? For most Christians, they might go about as if we're working for Scrooge or Mr. Burns from Simpsons. And I have to say, I probably include myself in that. That is because I, and maybe many others, have slipped into having this wrong picture of King Jesus, like the servant did here. But we don't need to be cynical about God when we work hard for him. We can trust that he is going to be good to us. As we've seen already, he gives us eternal life, and he promises that he won't abandon us. He gives us what we need. We see this in chapter 18, verse 30. He says that you've received many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life. I think we willfully disobey God and sin like the servant did because we think that God is mean. He's holding back from us. holding back the things that we think will make us happy. But know this, that a day spent obeying King Jesus is never wasted, is not a disappointment. There'll be no regrets that you've missed out. So please, please don't disobey Jesus by despising his kingdom. And then lastly, King Jesus is our judge, so obey him. Verses 24 to 27. King Jesus is our judge, so obey him. Have you ever been described in a way that you felt was unfair? You're left thinking, hang on, this really doesn't sound like me at all. Maybe you've been misjudged as being arrogant, passive, or uncaring. When this parable, the king in verse 15 has returned, and he calls all people together as he judges them, see how faithful they have been to him. Remember, this is what King Jesus will do when he returns from heaven. But this king, well, his judgments are accurate. They are correct, as they are based on evidence. That is what people have done to grow his kingdom. Now, as we go through the parable, we'll see the rewards and the reckonings that each person receives. The king judges his servants first that have increased the minor. What does he call them in verse 17? Good servant. Now, it's not that the servant has graded their own work, but it's the master, isn't it? It's the master who says good servant. He's the one who judges how successful that they have been. Remember, the king in the parable is a picture of Jesus. He too will judge us, telling us what a successful life looks like. And that is to have Jesus as your king. Now, please don't mishear me here. We don't serve Jesus to be or to stay saved. That is a dangerous place to be. Jesus doesn't love you because of how hard you work. Jesus gives us salvation. That is to have a loving relationship with God. And the evidence of that loving relationship is seen how then we serve Jesus, King Jesus. That is that we want his kingdom to grow. The work is worth it. When we turn off that TV to prepare for flames or growth groups, it's worth it. Being on maybe a music group, and the hassle and frustration of recording songs over Zoom. It's worth it. Seeing the money go out of your bank account towards church or missionary. It's worth it. But understand, it's not a contest. It's not who can do the most, okay, or bring in the most. We each have a unique way of serving. That is what we have to offer in Jesus' kingdom. What matters is that we're about the King, Jesus' business, and he'll reward our obedience. The second person we have is who the King judges, we see is the servant in verse 22. That's the one who does nothing with the minor. We might say, maybe he's just lazy. But what does the King call him in verse 22? Wicked. The evidence for his wickedness is that he doesn't want to grow the king's kingdom. This exposes that he despises the king, calling him a severe and mean man. He is only a servant by name only. Well, how about you? Maybe you're here or listening at the moment because you think, well, my parents were Christians or believers, or I've been baptized, or I'm very knowledgeable about the Bible. Now, they are helpful things, but is there any evidence in your life that shows that you're about the king's business of growing Jesus' kingdom because of the salvation that you have received? Well, see the surprise result of the judgment in verse 24. Look with me. It says, he said to those who stood by, take the minor from him and give it to the one who's had 10 minuses. See, he's exposed as a fraud of a servant. So his privilege of having the minor is taken away. He no longer has the role of a servant. He's just shown to be wicked. At the end of time, when we meet Jesus as our judge, please don't find yourself in this position. exposed as a fraud, where the hope that you had but did nothing with is taken away. See that Jesus is worth saving, worth serving. See that Jesus is worth serving, so obey him. Well, if we found that last judgment surprising, we'll see that the final judgment is shocking in its severity. I have to say, in some ways, I wish Jesus wouldn't have said it and that the story would have stopped here. Well, as we've seen, we've already seen the faithful servants, that is those who are Christians. We've seen a fraud of a servant, that is someone who calls himself a Christian, but doesn't show it in their life. Now we come to the citizens who are left, who are last left to come before the king. That is everyone who is not a Christian. If that is you, please see the danger that Jesus says that you are in. So remember in verse 14, the citizens, well, they hate the king. Now, many who are Christian wouldn't say that they hate Jesus. But if they say, as the citizens did in that verse, oh, we don't want this man to reign over us, that is to reject Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that is to hate him. There is no middle ground. No one is neutral towards Jesus. So here is the judgment in verse 27. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. They now face the consequences of being enemies of the king for their rebellion against him. It can't continue forever. With this grim reality, what will happen to our friends, family, work colleagues who do not know Jesus and do not have him as king? Well, this should then motivate us as servants of King Jesus to grow his kingdom so that others will be then become servants of him too, that they won't receive this judgment as enemies, but instead they will receive a reward and be told, well done, good servant. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you that he is King. Lord, help us to respond rightly to him, to his business, may it be our business, to go out, to grow his kingdom, to love him for who he is. And Father, if we are seeing ourselves as the servant who did nothing, or even as a citizen, Lord, please change our hearts so that we will become good servants, that when we meet you on that judgment day, you will say, good servant to us, because of our love for Jesus and his kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.